Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, first, Lord, that you would prepare each of our hearts, every one of us as we showed up here this morning to worship you and praise you. We come from different circumstances. Maybe it was a good morning, maybe it was a bad morning. Maybe there's a trial in our lives with physical problems or financial needs. We all come needing you more than anything else, though, Lord. As we worship you, I pray that you prepare a place in our heart for your word, that it might penetrate, that it might develop strong, long, deep roots, and Lord, that it might produce a fruit in our lives. I pray that the first fruit that it produces in me is repentance. And I pray the same for all of us here. Produce repentance deep within us, Lord, that we would turn away from our selfish desires, from our plans, and we turn to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm very happy to see all of you here today. In Proverbs chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, King Solomon begins each one of these by saying, "My children." King Solomon is referring to basically, in this day, to the young men that were going to be taught and trained in moral and ethical ways in the land of Israel. He called them my children. And I got to thinking this morning, I was, during my morning prayer time, reflecting on Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray. And he says, you know, "Our Father." Now, maybe you don't realize this, but throughout the Old Testament, God was referred to as, you know, Yahweh or a number of other names. He was not referred to as Father. Think about how revolutionary this was when Jesus taught people, you know, God, the King of Kings, who created all things, who created you and me, he is your Father. And when you come to him, pray, seeking your Father. And when Solomon wrote these words and he's saying this, you know, "my children," you know, we picture God saying the same thing to us. God comes to us with these words, not words of, you know, condemnation, do this or do that. He comes to you as a father in love. So when we read these words this morning from Solomon, I want you to imagine in your mind's eye that God, your Father, who loves you, who has your best interests in mind, is speaking directly to you. If he were sitting by your side, he is whispering these words in your ear. If you're looking at this as we read this morning, he's speaking to your heart. Allow God, your Father, to speak to your heart this morning. "My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions, for I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me, 'Take my words to heart, follow my commands, and you will live.' Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown." Solomon's purpose for this book is documented in the first chapter. And he closes out his introduction in the first chapter saying this: "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, for fools despise wisdom and discipline." Mark Twain once said, "Nothing so needs reforming as other people's habits." And so our purpose today, as your Heavenly Father is speaking to you, maybe he's speaking directly to you, but if you don't want to receive it yourself, just think about how you're going to correct someone else's habits, okay? So listen to your Father's advice, study and meditate in Proverbs, that you might correct somebody. Trust me, okay? Trust me. The person sitting next to you is going to really appreciate you correcting them. I'm certain of that. Listen, he says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, which we know leads to life. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, this is a serious topic. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. But what is the consequence of somebody who despises wisdom? In James chapter 1, it says this: temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So a fool succumbs to temptation, is dragged away into sinful actions, and when they have become their habits, their habit, their practice, their way of life, their life is characterized by these sinful practices, it leads them to death. Now you're thinking, well, I know lots of people who are foolish, who live, they fall into temptation. In fact, they don't call it temptation anymore. They just enjoy it. They embrace it. They love it. They love their sinful lives. They wouldn't say they fall into it. They love those habits and practices, but they're foolish. And the consequence for all of them, whether they die physically tomorrow as a consequence, or when they expire from this life and go to the next, they're going to face eternal separation from God. This is a serious issue. And think about a father who loves his children, wants the best for the children, doesn't want to see them go down the wrong road because they know it will lead to destruction, not only in this world, but eternity. Listen, yesterday, this is a good news story, okay? Yesterday, a friend of mine called me about 11 o'clock and said, I need you to speak with my daughter. Okay, didn't know what it was about. Turns out that I'm not going to give too many details, but the daughter has been battling alcohol and has, in anguish and pain, cried out to Dad, I need help, I need help. I'm so sorry for everything that I've done. I've messed up my life. I need help. He is at his wit's end. He's trying to encourage her, share with her, and says, Mel, can you talk to her? And, of course, first time I've met her, we got to talking about her life, how she got down this road. She can pinpoint the day when it started 4 years ago, and here she is just suffering every day with this disease. She knows she's trapped. And as I hear this whole story unfold, I said to her, listen, there is hope for you. I know there is hope for you because Saul of Tarsus, and she knew a little bit about the Bible when she was a little kid. Her grandmother took her to church, grandmothers, take your kids to church, drag them to church. You know what? They're going to remember a few things. She remembered who Saul of Tarsus was. I said, listen, Saul of Tarsus, he hated Jesus Christ. He was persecuting Christians. She's going, I remember. Okay, but on the road to Damascus, she encountered Jesus Christ, faced him face to face, and turned his life over to Jesus, became a Christian, started following him. And guess what? Guess what this guy said in Romans chapter 7. I'm sorry, this is not in my sermon. Romans chapter 7. I'm talking, well, it wasn't in my sermon yesterday. I just started talking to her. I said, it's here somewhere. I'm going to find it, okay? Romans chapter 7. Listen, Paul, who gave his life to Jesus Christ, historically we know that probably 14 or 15 years he was taken down into Egypt where he was trained and taught up before he started going on a missionary journey, before he started writing these books and these letters to the churches. So by the time Romans comes around, the end of his life, he's been a Christian for 30 years. He's been on this path following Christ the best that he could. Now listen to Paul's testimony. Paul said, so the trouble is not with the law, but it is, because it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human. a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Those were almost her exact words. I'm trying. I've been trying to quit. I've tried 8 times. I can't quit. I can't quit. I'm all too human. I can't do it. I hate what I'm doing. And I said to her, this is how he concludes it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I immediately do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ who set you free. I'm telling you, as I was listening to this girl's story, and immediately God put the Apostle Paul and his testimony in my heart, and I'm sharing this. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the word of God is powerful. There's nothing that I can say humanly that's going to change this person's life or circumstances or heart. It's the word of God that penetrates a heart. It's a seed that grows. It has power in itself. So I didn't trust myself. I said, let's look at what God's word says. This is why Solomon is so adamant that we get wisdom, that we develop good judgment and good character. Because you know what? Other people do need that wisdom. I need that wisdom. You are other people. Okay. As he addresses this, I'm going to skip on here a little bit. Thinking, that's good, Mel. This is going to get long. My father taught me, take my words to heart. Now, what does it mean to take God's word to heart? This is what it means. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who is an intellectual. Do you know any intellectual people? They love to debate. You know, they just love to debate. They love to talk. They like to talk politics and religion and Christianity and all the religions of the world. And they just want to talk and talk and talk. Okay? Well, this interest is good in that if it's combined with a hunger and a humility to listen to what's being said. But for the most part, people just want to be informed by God's word. They don't want to be influenced by it. You know the difference? I'm speaking the word of truth to you now. I've read some passages, and people want to hear this information. It's good information. I'm glad you're, but they don't want to be influenced by it. But this is where the word, this is where God prepares the heart that we might be influenced. This is where it matters. If you have a hunger, a tenderness, a humility to listen, we should take God's word to heart. Solomon says that we will live. You take God's word to heart, take my words to heart, and you will live. But what is Solomon talking about? Because people live and die every day. What living is he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. Where is the destination? In Matthew 19, someone came up to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to earn eternal life? Jesus said, why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. If you want your destination to be eternal life in heaven with God, keep the commandments. These are the words of Christ. This is the life that Solomon was talking about. This is the eternal life that Jesus is talking about. The destination for all of us who keep hold of God's word in our heart is eternal life. Get wisdom, verse 5 and verse 7. Solomon repeats himself. He says this. He says, get wisdom and develop good judgment. How are you going to develop good judgment? The very first way you're going to develop good judgment is you're going to reject the moral relativism that exists in our culture. The common predominant thought is what? Relativism means this. That means you get to define truth. Now, isn't that wonderful? I get to decide what is true. Now, all of us in this room, I'm praying and hoping, realize how foolish that is. 2 + 2 = 4. And if you don't agree with that, guess what? You're a fool. Right? 2 + 2 = 4. You're a fool. You know what? There are lots of moral laws, God's holy word, that are given to us, and they are absolute. They are not up to me to decide whether or not they are right or wrong. But in our culture, if we're going to hold on to good judgment, the very first thing we got to do is reject the point or the position that all points of view are equal. They are not equal. Listen, forgetting God's word or ignoring God's word or believing that you can define truth for yourself. Sadly, this is where we are as a country, and guess where it's leading? Solomon said that if we would remember wisdom, if we would love it, prize it, embrace it, that wisdom would protect us, that wisdom would guard us, honor us, crown us, and make us great in his eyes. At the end of this set of instructions, in my mind's eye, I pictured Solomon writing us a prayer. This first set of instructions, verses 1 through 9, this would be Solomon's prayer, or I imagine it so. Father, give me a hunger to know your word and a humility to use what I learn. Give me wisdom to live a godly life according to instructions that you've given so that I will develop good judgment. I trust you to protect me, to guard me, honor me, and crown me, and make me great in your eyes. May your holy will be done in my life. Don't you want that prayer fulfilled in your life? The next set of instructions begins in verse 10. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will live a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving, for evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone else to stumble. They eat the food of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is in total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. Solomon begins the second set of instructions, again saying that if you want to have a good life, live life, then listen. It talks about these straight paths, and if you think about it, if you're an athlete or you're performing and training for a race, this analogy, the same analogy that Paul used, he said this. He says, when you're training for a race, listen, everybody trains for the race. Everybody prepares. So don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. When Solomon is talking about running the race, that is the clear, moral, ethical life, the straight path that leads to life. Don't stumble, don't struggle. But how do we not stumble? How do we stay on the straight path? And how do we do this? We get rid of everything that hinders. Now listen, if you were going to run a race and you're a world-class athlete, you're not going to strap a backpack on your back and load it up with 30 or 40 pounds of weights, are you? No, right? Somebody say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Now, Usain Bolt might do that because he's arrogant, but he'd probably win anyway. Anyway, No, if you're going to run the race, what are you going to do? You're going to take that backpack off. You're going to throw off everything that would hinder you from racing well, from running well. And if the track had all kinds of garbage on it, what are you going to do? You're going to go sweep that path so you don't have anything to stumble on. If you want to run the race well, you don't want to stumble. Throw off everything that hinders. This is what the Hebrew writer says. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keeping your eye on Jesus Christ, moment by moment, day by day. This is how we stay in the straight path. This is how, as we're going along, we don't stumble. This is how we throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, is keeping our eye on Jesus. Hold on to my instructions, guard them. This is the key to life, the key to walking a straight path, not stumbling. Verse 14, 15 says, do not do as the wicked do, and do not follow the paths of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. Now, how many of you can say, recall in your memory, you're 12 or 15 or 18 or 22, and your friends are saying, hey, let's go do this crazy thing. Let's go get drunk, go to this wild party. And you went ahead and did, didn't you? You went there, you got in trouble, things didn't turn out the way you'd hoped. Solomon says, don't even go with them. Listen to what he said in chapter 1. This is what characterizes an evil person, someone who's going to lead you down the wrong path. He says their words are twisted. They turn from the right way. They walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong. They enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked and their ways are wrong. So, how many of you even want to follow somebody like that? But how are we supposed to avoid it? Solomon gives us two pieces of advice how not to follow this. Number one is, don't even think like they do. Think differently. In some cases, that might mean turning off and not watching particular TV shows. You know, there's all kinds of TV shows that promote promiscuity. They promote adultery, lying, cheating, stealing. You guys are all old enough to know that what you watch through your eyes is influencing your thoughts. It's going to influence your behavior. Don't even think like they do. Paul said in Philippians 4, he says, fix your thoughts on what is true. Look at that TV show you're watching. You know, your favorite one. Okay, fix your thought on what is true. Is there anything true about that? Is it endearing? Is it edifying? Is it building up? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure and lovely and admirable? Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Listen, the websites you watch, the TV shows, the movies, the people you hang around with, guess what? They're influencing you. Turn away, Solomon says. Turn away. You know, my conversation yesterday, it was very difficult. I guess I didn't really tell you the rest of the story, did I? The rest of the story is with this young lady, married with one child. We went through scripture, shared the gospel. She responded to Jesus Christ, surrendered her life, and she was baptized into Christ in our pool yesterday. It was amazing. I got chills just thinking about it. And it wasn't because the water was cold. It was like 90 degrees. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. She received the word of God. There was nothing that I did. It was the word of God that penetrated her heart and changed her future. And I said, listen, we spent over an hour together afterwards, her and her dad. You still have to go back home where there's alcohol. What are you going to do about that? I'm going to go home and I'm going to pour it all out. Well, what if your husband objects? We went through this whole conversation. I don't have the wisdom of Solomon. I don't know what to tell her. I just know that, you know what? You can't be around it. She said, I can't be around it. If I smell it, I got to have it. I said, you need to tell him, I can't be in the house if there's going to be alcohol. I didn't tell him to divorce her or for her to divorce him. I said, don't go home. Until you get this agreed to, there will not be alcohol in this house. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. And you know what? Her life is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to get this worked out. But Jesus Christ is living inside of her. The Holy Spirit is there. And I told her, don't let go. But here's the thing. People will influence you. What did Solomon say? They cannot wait to drag you away and entice you. For evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone else to stumble. Now, don't you find that to be true? This is going to be tough. But Jesus said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh water. Listen, why does Solomon even need to give us this advice? If we desire wisdom, if we desire to please God with our lives, what fellowship do we even have with evil people? Solomon speaks to the very nature of corrupt people. They desire it, they crave it, it satisfies a want and a need. And they want us to join them to justify their behavior. And this is tough, because when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you're gonna turn your back on evil and evil practices and evil way, people are just corrupt, they're gonna lead you the wrong way. Guess what? That might mean your best friend. That might mean you've got to work something out with your spouse. You know, I can't live like this anymore. Your best friend, maybe a coworker, maybe somebody you can't hang around with anymore. You have to separate yourself, because if you don't, you're going to fall right back into those habits and practices. This final passage, starting in verse 20, says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. In this case, Jesus Christ, right? Mark out a straight path with your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Guard your hearts above all else. Keep watch. Be alert. Peter said, watch out. The devil is like a roaring lion prowling around, looking for someone to devour. And Solomon says, watch out. Guard your heart. Protect yourself. We know about the influence of the world. The love of money, the enjoyments of the flesh, they creep into our thinking through our media, through our friends, through the things that we allow to influence our thoughts and our actions. But we can get good wisdom. Listen to this. When Solomon said these words, and they're the words of God, guard your heart. I'm telling you right now, that command is there because it is possible to follow. Would God give you a command that is not possible to follow? No, he would not. All that would do is frustrate you. But it is possible to guard your heart. This is how you guard your heart. Listen. Number one, you must desire wisdom, the path of righteousness, to put your eyes and focus on Jesus more than anything else. Verse 8. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you and embrace you. Prize and desire wisdom. Lord, I want to live wise. I want to have good judgment. Second, You must study and meditate on the Word of God. How in the world are you going to know what wisdom is if you never pick up the book and read it for yourself? Seriously, you're not going to. You've got to read, you got to meditate, you got to think about it. How do I apply this? I'm going to make a recommendation to you. It'd be interesting to see how many of you take me up on this. 1 week, okay? You know, there's a Bible right in front. Let's do this. Everybody grab a Bible and raise it like this. Come on, quick. Just, it'll only take a second. Come on. All right. Okay. All right. Now wave it. Okay. See? I wish I had a camera. That was fun. Listen, take a Bible. So you want wisdom? The Bible right in front of you. You take it. You walk out of this building. I don't care. It doesn't have your name on it. Take this book. Walk out of here today. And I don't want that. You know, you guys seen in these home ec classes where kids get, oh, you had one. Where you have a baby and you got to hold it and it cries and does. I want you to take this book home. I don't want it to leave your sight for one solid week. Then bring it back. This is what, but I don't want you to just look at it. I want you to open it too. Look, open it. Start in the book of Romans chapter 1, and just start reading. Do it this week. 1 week, I dare you. Wherever you go, if you're at the grocery store, people are thinking, how are you going to carry your purse and the bike? Just do it 1 week. Read, meditate, think about it. I'm serious. I'm going to be checking up on you guys. I'm going to send out a text every day. You want wisdom? You want to put God's word in your heart? Keep it with you. People will think you're crazy, and then you know what you'll get to do? People will think you're crazy, and that, why are you carrying the Bible? He said, because this is where my hope is. You say, I love Jesus Christ. Jesus wants me to read this. Would you like me to read some to you? Start with Romans 7. Well, I'm not a very good person. If I come to church, lightning, well, you know, the same thing happened to Paul. Go to Romans 7. Testify that there is hope for every single person. Even after 30 years, Paul was what? Still weak, still too all too human. Take this with you. I'm going to walk through. There might not be a single Bible left. Take them all with you, okay? All right. The third thing we do is we ask God for wisdom. Yet, listen, do you remember God came to Solomon in a dream and he said, what do you want? And Solomon says, I want wisdom. Okay, listen. God will give you wisdom if you ask him for it. God will give you wisdom. So pray, ask God for wisdom. And the fourth thing to get wisdom is this. Now this is going to freak you out. Listen, if you want to get wisdom, you need to meditate on your death. Your life is short. My life is short. If you want to get wisdom, meditate on your death. Listen to what Psalms 90 says. So teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom. If you know for a fact you're going to stand before Jesus Christ tonight's the night. You're going to stand before him. You picture this. Tonight's the night. Do you want to be holy and righteous and blameless before the living God who's going to judge you for all eternity? Yes, you do. Think about your eternity. Think about the end of your life, for it'll give you a heart of wisdom because you'll be thinking, you know what? This next step might be my last step. Next time I get in my car, might be the last time I get in my car. Give me a heart of wisdom, God. Let me remember my days are short. And the last way to get wisdom, which is the way this young lady got wisdom yesterday, you know what she did? She gave her life to Jesus Christ. There is no other way, and there is no greater wisdom, and there's no greater life than to give your life to Jesus Christ. And it's the absolute essential thing that we need. Jesus said this, listen, the Queen of the South will rise at judgment with this generation and will condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now someone greater than she is here, than he is here. Someone greater than Solomon. That is Jesus Christ. In Corinthians it says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption in Jesus Christ. Someone greater Then Solomon, who put these words together, wisdom itself, Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't just wisdom. He is the way, he's the truth, and the life. He is our Redeemer, he is our Lord, our brother, our father, our master, our Redeemer. To know and love and follow Jesus Christ is a treasure of ultimate and eternal happiness. This command to get wisdom, first and foremost, begins with getting Jesus. Give your life to him. If you are ready today, if you are ready today in your heart, you can believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died and that he was raised from the dead, that he's sitting at the right hand of God. You believe in Jesus and you're ready to repent. Instead of my way, God, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. You know what? I've tried it on my own. I've tried to quit alcohol 8 times in the last 4 years. I can't do it. There's nothing in me. I can't. I need help. You want help. You recognize that you're a sinner. You're lost without any hope in this world. This is the greatest position to be in because you're helpless. You say, I need God. Jesus, come save me. Forgive me. Surrender your life to Jesus. Do it today. You don't know your last day, just like I don't know my last day. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And there's some of you here, there's lots of new faces today. If you are ready to join this fellowship, be part of this church family, when Rick comes up, we sing the song, come up and sit over here. Or sit wherever you want. Just come forward. Okay. I don't care where you sit. You can stand for that matter. Just don't stand next to me because I can't sing well. I don't want to offend your sensibilities. All right. Rick's going to come up and we're going to offer an invitation song. We're going to stand up and sing. And if you want to come forward for prayer, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to get this relationship with him started, or to be part of our church family, come forward this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to pray. Golly, jeez. Oh, my. Okay. See, I'm all too human. I'm just like Paul. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who saved us, who convicted us, who led us to you, who drew us to you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for your word today that is penetrating every heart here. Lord, I pray that every seed of your word that's being planted in our hearts is meeting good soil, that it would grow and grow deep roots, produce fruit. The very first fruit is repentance, Lord, repentance. Let everyone in this room turn away from our ways and our understanding and turn to you. I beg you, Lord, start with me. Lord, bring glory to Jesus, your son, right now, in Jesus' name, amen.